Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
The Championship Roundtable podcast. I'm your host today, Jake Jackman. If you want to reach the show, you can get us on Twitter at Championship Pod. And I'm joined by Max today. So, Max, if you'd just like to tell people where they can reach you.
Yeah, hi, Jake. Great to be on. Great to do another podcast. You can find me on Twitter at Max D Hayes. You can also find my YouTube channel, which is focused on Forest as well. But good to be on talking all things Championship again, mate.
Yeah, cheers for joining me today, Max. So we'll start with the midweek fixtures, I guess, because we're some time away from the weekend and they are fresh in the memory. Just wanted to get your thoughts on if there was any standout performances.
Yeah, I think standout performance for me last night was Luton beating Norwich. I mean, what a shock result that was, really, for them to beat Norwich 3-1, and especially when fans were returning for Luton. I think, obviously, it must have made a difference because... they won, and I think I said to Louis a few weeks ago that I think Luton are a bit of a dark horse this season. I mean, they're doing really well at the moment. They're 22 points looking at the table now. They're 11th, and they're certainly doing better than the teams that you'd expect to be maybe up there and maybe that you'd expect to switch places for. For example, somebody like Derby County, you'd expect them to be where Luton are and probably Luton where Derby County are, kind of in the relegation zone. And that's no disrespect to Luton. It just shows that Nathan Jones has done a great job since he's returned. I also think that James Collins is a fantastic player for Luton. I think he's scored 4 of his 6 goals as well this season. And of course, Luton managed to get a win in front of the fans, and it must have definitely helped. So that was a shock result for me, really. Probably another shock result as well would be... my team, Forest, against Watford. I think a lot of people tipped us to kind of get hammered by Watford, considering where they are in the league versus where we are. But I really think we stood our ground against Watford. We showed signs of kind of where we'd been lacking in the past. Maybe just we're kind of as well just missing that final pass as well in the final third and final chance as well. But I think it's an improvement from a few weeks ago, and you can really tell that Houghton's football is coming across now. We just need to, you know, find a way to score, really, and find a way to start picking up wins. But I think it was a good result last night, and it was great to see Cafu as well. He started for Forest that we'd never seen him start before from Olympiacos in the summer, and we also saw Joe Worrell back from a foot injury as well. So I'd have to probably tip say Forest and Luton were the shock results for me last night.
Yeah, I think both of those were slightly surprising, especially the Forest won't get a point against Watford because they have been improving. But as you say, Chris Hughton often organises his teams well. And on the Luton point as well, fans coming back is obviously a big thing. Me and Louis spoke about it last week, and we've already seen it on very small sample size, obviously only one round of fixtures. But the Luton result in particular does show the impact it can have. And I think it was good to see at Wickham as well. You saw Gareth Ainsworth going around before the match, applauded all the fans. It was sort of the first time they'd been in contact with our fans since their surprise promotions. So that was quite an emotional moment. And even with a few fans, it was quite a big, had quite a big impact on me anyway. But a surprise result for me, I'll just go to the Middlesbrough game, because although I think Middlesbrough have been very good this season, to beat Swansea was quite a big result. I thought, obviously, Neil Warnock's gone in there and he's doing really well. I think they've got one of the better defensive records in the league, only conceded 10 goals. So, yeah, they're a classic Neil Warnock team. And although they're down in 10th position, they're only 4 points off the top of the table. So it's so bunched up at the top of the table this year. It really is anyone's game. Even Reading, who had been on that run of poor results, are now moved back up into the playoff positions with 5 points from 3 games. Slightly surprised that Reading didn't win last night, actually, because Sheffield Wednesday went down to 10 quite early. I think that might be the second red card since Tony Pulis has taken over. So they definitely seem to have an issue there in terms of discipline. But they managed to see out the match and get a point, which could be huge come the end of the season. Still in the relegation zone, but up to 9 points now off the bottom, doing a little bit better. So yeah, I think that they're heading in the right direction. But yeah, I think the Luton one for me and is the biggest one. Are there any players that caught your eye in the midweek matches?
I mentioned James Collins there for Luton, so I'd probably have to say him again. Another one that's kind of caught the eye for me actually was Stoke again. I keep speaking about Stoke, and I keep speaking about James McLean as well. Is he got assists for, I think it was Powell's goal last night when they beat Wickham 1-0. And again, there was fans in that, but that didn't really help Wickham at all because Stoke were the away side and won. But I'd have to say James McLean again. I think he's really stood out for me this season. I mean, he stood out for me last season, to be fair, even though Stoke weren't performing to the best of their ability with the squad they had on paper. But now I think they've, you know, Stoke are really turning a corner, really. And I honestly do think that they'll be there at the end of the season in the playoffs, 100%. I would have to tip them, actually, for a bit of a dark horse for promotion as well. So going back to my standout players, it would probably be James McLean and James Collins as well from Luton.
Yeah, I agree with those ones. One that caught my eye was Duncan Whatmore for Middlesbrough. I think he only signed last week or I think he signed a contract till January, and he got both goals yesterday starting up front. Obviously had quite a turbulent period of his career at Sunderland. He had a lot of injuries, didn't manage to get into the team. Obviously got relegated twice, and it seemed like there wasn't much going on for him this summer with COVID restricting the opportunities available. But he's gone in at Middlesbrough and he started really well, and the two goals yesterday are going to give him so much confidence. And I think that's the one thing that Middlesbrough are perhaps lacking at the moment is somebody to score the goals. Only scored 16 this year, so a little better than a goal per game, which they're going to have to improve on if they are to challenge for top six. But yeah, Duncan Whatmore, it's early days, so only a couple of games he's played, but yeah, two goals, very impressive. And obviously every week we mention Adam Armstrong, so we've got to mention him again. Another goal, he just keeps getting better and better and showed a consistency that he didn't have before. Yeah, as a Newcastle fan, makes me a little bit sour seeing him do that, but yeah, great to see him get more goals. And I think that Blackburn, currently in ninth position, probably only have a chance of challenging the playoffs because of the attacking players they've got. They've got so many good attacking players there, young attacking players as well. Harvey Elliott got on the score sheet as well. So yeah, really exciting times for Blackburn. And they look like they're going to be one of the better teams to watch this season, even if they are going to slip up occasionally. But yeah, just moving into the topics this week. I think that we want to talk about which team has surprised you most, Max, whether that be at the top of the table or at the bottom of the table. And we're going to leave Forest for a little bit because we'll come on to them in a bit more detail in a bit. But just wanted to know your thoughts as a neutral on all the other teams. I guess which team in the top half has surprised you and which team in the bottom half has surprised you?
Yeah, of course. I think the one of the teams that has surprised me all season would probably be actually a bit of a, maybe people are surprised I'd say this, but actually Millwall. I thought that Millwall would really struggle this season and perhaps be near the bottom of the table. However, Guy Rowett, I mean, fantastic job he's done since he came in. I can't remember when he came in. I think it was sometime last season. But I honestly do think that Millwall could be there at the end of the season or securing a nice kind of mid-table championship spot. I think that Guy Rowett is definitely building something at Millwall, and for me, they've every time they've played my team or I've seen them on the TV, is that they've always stood out for me. And then they've played proper football, and Guy Rowett's brought that across. I mean, he's been at Birmingham and Derby before, and he's brought that across. You can 100% tell to Millwall. So I'd probably say they surprised me in the top half of the table, if you count 13th place at the top half of the table. A team that would probably surprise me would be in the bottom half of the table. Being there and surprised that they're there would probably be actually, I'd probably say Derby. I mean, to be bottom of the league with minus 15 goal difference, I think they're on. Managerless, of course, Wayne Rooney's temporary charge of them. There's takeovers going through there. It's all a bit of a a kind of a circus at the moment with Derby. No one knows what's happening, really. I was speaking to a Derby fan, actually, and they were just saying that they need to employ a proper manager. That's no disrespect to Rooney, was saying, and he's great, but Rooney hasn't got his coaching badges, so he thinks that they need a proper manager, somebody like Sam Allardyce or Eddie Howe. The trouble is, who's going to come to them when they're when they're 24th in the league? But still, it's an attractive managerial position. However, they definitely surprised me to be there. I think a lot of people would tip Derby for a playoff and promotion this season. And to be at the bottom of the league isn't the best for them, although I do still think there's a lot of time left, of course, in the season, and they'll probably most likely turn it around. But I'd probably say Millwall and Derby for surprising me.
Yeah, definitely agree with both of those. Millwall down to 13th, having a very good start of the season and in a good position to challenge higher up the league. And yeah, Derby, I think that they speak for themselves. Around New Year, following Rooney coming in, I thought they were one of the better teams in the league. They were I think they were top of the form table for quite a long time, and I expected them to push on. But yeah, just hasn't gone for them this year. It's been a slight improvement the last couple of weeks, but still failing to beat Wickham and Coventry doesn't bode well for them. So yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how that progresses with the takeover and the managerial position, whether Rooney gets it full-time or if they do bring in somebody with a little bit more experience, which probably looks like the better bet at the moment. But for me, I've been quite surprised by Bournemouth. I thought Eddie Howe leaving is going to have a big impact. And it hasn't really. Second in the table, obviously. The table's a little bit of a false reading at the moment because there's so few points separating, you know, first down to, I guess you'd go down to Millwall in 13th. You could possibly go even lower. Huddersfield down in 16th for only 10 points off the top, which is crazy. But yeah, Bournemouth, I thought they'd really struggle. I thought they might be a team that comes down and settles in the Championship for 2 or 3 years before going for another promotion challenge. But they're right up there. Tyndall's doing a really good job showing that a number two can come out and step up even after a manager that was so ingrained at the club. So that's really impressed me. They've obviously got a lot of talented players, but they did lose a few in the summer as well. Callum Wilson, Ryan Fraser, and a couple of others, Nathan Ake leaving. So, you know, there's always going to be a bit of a transitional season, but they're doing really well and in a great position to challenge for automatic promotion back to the Premier League. So they surprised me a little bit. And I guess it might speak a lot that Norwich, Bournemouth and Watford are currently the top three, whether that shows that the Championship, the gap between the Championship and the Premier League is maybe growing. It might be true. That might support that, although I think it's partly down to what this season is so strange, and those clubs with the great resources are always going to have a slight advantage. So yeah, I think they're for me in the top half. But Huddersfield have surprised me a little bit. I thought they'd really struggle this year, like they did last year. I thought that the decision to move the Cowleys on and bring in Corberan was a bit of a risk, really. He'd obviously worked under Bielsa and they were attracted by that. I'm sure they'd done their research and knew of his coaching credentials, but thought he'd come in and struggle, losing Carl and Grant as well, their top scorer for the last couple of years. It's going to be a tough ask, but they've done really well. They've been playing some really good football. Probably one of the, you know, if you're going to sit down and watch a Championship game, if Huddersfield are playing, it's normally going to be a good watch of goals at both ends. And Karoma has been really good for them. He looks like a very good player at this level. So yeah, I've been surprised by them. Thought they'd be nearer the relegation zone, but no, they look quite a decent team. They're going to be very inconsistent, but I think they're going to be fine. And I think that they should be excited about what the future could hold under Corberan, who does look to be a very exciting young coach, and the style of play is reflecting that. But yeah, just moving on to Forest now, I thought we could go into them in a little bit more detail. I'm a huge Chris Hughton fan as a Newcastle supporter. He's obviously back to the top flight before. He's obviously done very well at Birmingham, Norwich, Brighton. His CV speaks for himself, and it was an appointment that I thought was a smart one by Forest. But I've been slightly surprised maybe by how slow it started, but you know, three losses in the last four doesn't speak to a club that are getting much better. But I'm guessing you'll have a much better insight than me, so I just wanted to get your thoughts on how Hughton has settled and how the supporters are really feeling towards him at the moment.
it is early days, and Chris Hughton said many a times that this isn't going to be, you know, an overnight fix, and Forest cry out for stability every season and cry out for kind of a permanent manager that has the time to build. And I honestly do think that we're not going to go up this season. I think that we'll finish mid-table most likely. Fingers crossed we don't lose anymore and we get dragged into a relegation scrap. I hope that we just finish mid-table and then with the summer to rebuild and hopefully with more fans back in next year as well, is I think that might give the team a real boost. But so far, it's quite difficult to tell. I think it's quite difficult for all Forest supporters to maybe feel a connection with Hughton because we haven't been at games, you know, we haven't really, fans haven't had opportunities to meet him. So it is quite difficult when you have a manager or your players that come in, and especially during these times when we're watching it through a TV screen, you can't really feel that connected. But it's definitely an improvement to Lamucci's football, massive improvement for me. I thought that there's just that kind of style that you can tell Hughton brings across, but also the fact that the players seem to have gelled much better together. Lyle Taylor's doing excellent for us. You mean he's putting so much effort in every game. But I think we are struggling to score goals at the moment. We're doing everything right, but it's that final pass, it's that kind of final through ball and final chance that Forest are really struggling on. And I hope that will improve, and I'm sure it will under Hughton. We're not far off the January transfer window. I hope we maybe get rid of a few players that are deadwood and we don't really need them around the football club. And hopefully we bring in a few players that Chris Hughton wants that can really finalise that team. And I think once we're kind of safe from the drop and we're kind of climbing out the bottom half of the table, is that's when we'll really start to see Chris Hughton's football come across more. We'll really start to see him maybe experimenting with different players that we'll see next season. But I can't see Forest going up. Maybe there's a slight chance of it in the playoffs. But this season, I think it was definitely due to the kind of upset from the last one and the departure of Lamucci and appointment of Hughton that you can kind of write this one off. It's another season wrote off, which I don't think will bother too many Forest fans in a way, maybe, because we can't go and see the games and maybe next season we'll be able to. So fingers crossed that's the case. But in terms of how we've seen his football come across, it's been good so far, but we haven't seen much of it to build a connection, if you understand what I mean by that.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Yeah, no, I completely understand. I think looking at the last four matches might be a little bit unfair because he had some difficult opposition. You obviously had Bournemouth, Swansea, Watford, and before that, Barnsley. I think it was their manager's first game in charge, or close to, so it's never a good time to play them. No. So it's been a tough run. Got Reading and Norwich coming up, so again, it doesn't get much easier. What do you think when you're watching for us at the moment? Do you think it's the biggest issue? Do you think it's scoring goals? And if you have a quick glance at the table, that jumps out. I think Graben's been missing for a while. Knockhart doesn't look like the player he was when he was at Brighton. Sami Amiobi is obviously talented, but very hot and cold. Do you think that it's the attack that is the issue? Joe Lolley, obviously a very good player who hasn't quite found the stride he's had in previous years either.
Yeah, definitely. I think that Joe Lolley really seems to have lost it. And I'm not. This is no kind of criticising Joe in a way, but this is just saying that he's not the player that he used to be last season. I think a lot of players at Forest aren't the players they used to be last season. I think Breeze Samba's another one to name it. I don't think his keeping's been the best so far. And maybe they have got some kind of PTSD from the heartbreak from last season, and players really seem to have struggled to come back from that. I wouldn't be surprised if Joe actually went maybe in January. I think that Amiobi will definitely stay. I think that Amiobi, obviously another wing option for Forest, that is a brilliant player. He can have his on and off moments and hot and cold, like you just said as well there. But I think in terms of an overall player, I do think he's slightly better than Joe Lolley at the moment. Although I do think that, fingers crossed, soon we'll see, maybe with Chris Hughton's football and a few new additions into the team, that it might give, for example, Brees Samaa, if we got another keeper, in a bit of competition to make him kind of a better player for his place, a bit of competition for his place. And also maybe the same for Joe Lolley if we brought in another winger. He definitely isn't the player he used to be, and I hope he can kind of bring that special kind of Joe Lolley way back. But I honestly think that, you know, we need to give the players time, and we have to kind of be positive about these things, because, it, as I mentioned before, it isn't going to happen overnight, and maybe Joe Lolley's worsened as a player because of Lamucci's football to start off with this season. But I hope now with Hughton in, who can motivate him, that we'll start to see Joe coming back to the player he was. And I think we did last night, actually. I think he didn't put in a bad shift, actually. I thought he was probably one of my 1 out of 5 standout players, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I think it's always going to be a work in progress when you bring in a new manager, especially, as you said, missing out on the playoffs in the fashion that Forest did at the end of last season. That's going to have an impact on the players, even more so this year, because they didn't have that break to really switch off their minds and refocus. They were out of the championship season and then quickly back into pre-season. And it has obviously had an effect. You can look at Brentford as well. They lost the playoff final. They're currently in sixth position, but they're not quite the same team they were towards the back end of last season. So it does have an impact. And I think that you can see that clearly with Forest. I think Hughton coming in was a good appointment. You just have to hope that he's given the time he needs, because it wasn't a quick fix at any of the jobs he's gone into. The Brighton one especially, I think he had to save them from relegation in his first year. He slowly built it and really turned them into the team they are now. And he was the one that laid the foundations for them to go on to be a Premier League team and kept them there for a couple of seasons. So he's the type of manager you want. It's going to be a project for him. As you said, he's spoken about it himself, that it's going to take time. Are you worried when you look at the league table? Do you think that with the upcoming games, you know, Reading, Norwich, I mentioned, and then following that, it doesn't get too much easier. Brentford and Sheffield Wednesday, Millwall, a team that you were speaking about and saying you're impressed by this year. So doesn't look like it's going to get easier anytime soon. Do you fear that maybe you could be pulled into the relegation zone again? And if you were, would that have a further damaging impact maybe on the players?
Perhaps, yeah. Maybe. It's really difficult to say. I think if we're not out of the relegation zone, perhaps by, I'd say, end of January, I will probably start to get a little bit concerned, although I do think we won't be dragged into a relegation scrap. There has been signs of improvement, and hopefully that will continue. It's always difficult looking at the league table. I think it's difficult to look at the league table now and think, well, we're 21st, and our squad on paper really should be probably at least fourth or fifth, if I'm perfectly honest with you. That's where a lot of the bookies tipped Forest to finish this season was in play in the playoffs, and some even tipped us to finish first or second, because maybe teams missing out on the playoffs, a bit like Brentford and Forest, were kind of tipped for favourites of promotion. So I think we'll be able to turn it around. It's just a little bit worrying, kind of constantly not kind of picking up goals from anywhere and also not winning. And I hope that changes. I'm sure it will. And maybe with a few more additions in January, and that's when it will kind of will really start to see the league table change for not only Forest, but the whole of the Championship as well.
Yeah, definitely. I did talk about the relegation zone there, but on the flip side, in this division, how tight is this year? Forest won 3 or 4 of their next games, they'd quickly move up the table and we'd be having different conversations about what they've gone to achieve. So that is the good and the bad of the Championship, really. You always got your eyes at both ends of the table, but as you said, if things are improving on the pitch and you can see the improvements that Chris Hughton's making, you can only be positive as a fan. So hopefully in a few weeks' time, we'll be we'll be talking about Forest as a pushing up the table rather than looking down at.
Yeah, fingers crossed.
But just moving on to previews of this weekend, really. A bit of a shorter show, but we'll move on to previews and predictions of the matches this weekend. We're starting off with Nottingham Forest, away to Reading. We mentioned it briefly there. How do you see this one going, Max? I'll let you do the overview of this game.
I think it'll be tough. I think that Reading have got a really talented coach in. It's also, I think this weekend, Reading are allowed fans in. So could that play a part? It'll be interesting to see. I could probably see it going. I'll be optimistic. I'll probably say 2-1 Forest. I think with a draw against Watford, maybe the players' confidence quite high. Things maybe on the up, turning. I can definitely see Forest picking up 3 points against Reading. I'm going to have a positive kind of mind. I'll probably say 2-1 Forest, but again, it's not going to be an easy game. And maybe Reading fans will think, ah, Forest, you know, near the bottom of the table, we'll be able to have them. I don't think that's the case, because I think every game in the Championship's always tough. And I always say that it's such a tight league, like you mentioned as a few minutes ago there, James. So I can probably see it going Forest way, although it definitely could go either way as well.
Yeah, I could definitely agree. I think that Reading have not looked as good as they did in the early part of the season. I know a lot of people have written about them maybe outperforming some of their metrics. Maybe they were on a bit of a hot streak and they're reverting back to where they should be. Picked it up slightly recently, but they'll be hurt by the failures. Beat Sheffield Wednesday in the week. They had so many chances. They were against 10 men. They just couldn't get it over the line. Although they're currently in the playoffs, I don't think they're going to finish there. Fans coming back might have an impact, as you said. Be interesting to see how that goes. But I could see it being a tight game. I think that Forest have been improving at the back. Conceded one against Swansea, kept a clean sheet against Watford. Two of the better teams in the league. So that should give them some confidence defensively. So, yeah, I think I'm going to go for the 1-1 draw. I think I'm going to sit on the fence a little bit. But yeah, I think that that it could be a 1-1 draw, which might be a pleasing result to start the surge up the table. But after that game, we move into preview a game nearer the bottom of the table. Coventry against Rotherham, two promoted teams, both currently out of the bottom three. How do you see this one going?
I reckon Rotherham will win this one. I was quite impressed with them. I saw some highlights, actually, the other week. I think when they played, I can't remember now, but I think... it's always difficult with Rotherham because they'd come up from League One and then they're straight back down. But I do think they have maybe a better chance this season of surviving, because perhaps Wickham and Coventry are worse and teams like Derby have been dragged into maybe that relegation scrap. I can see Rotherham probably winning it 2-0, I'd say. So, hopefully that'll please some Rotherham fans that are listening, but I was quite impressed from what I saw from them a few weeks ago.
Yeah, I agree on Rotherham. They seem to, every time they come up, they do fare slightly better. Got a few big wins already. Both them and Coventry have won 3 games, so neither of them are quite serial winners yet. So it's going to be another tight game, I think. Coventry, though, they do have a leaky defence. I think they've conceded 25 goals more than any other team in the league, so that's something to think about. That said, Rotherham aren't really free scoring, so I don't think it's gonna be a tight. I think it's gonna be tight. I think that I'm gonna lean towards the Coventry win. I think the home advantage, although it's not really that much of a home advantage for them considering they're currently homeless, but I think that they should have enough just to win, and they've shown a little bit of an improvement recently. They've unbeaten in 4. Whereas Rotherham are winless in 4, so I'm just slightly following the form book here. So I think I'm going to tip the Coventry win 2-1, I think. And moving on to our final game, we're going to briefly preview the team currently at the top of the division. Norwich are hosting Tony Pulis's Sheffield Wednesday. Norwich losing in the week, losing a bit of momentum. They've had a lot of injuries there as well. Do you think this is a potential banana skin for them against Tony Pulis and Sheffield Wednesday?
I do. I honestly do. I think that for me is that because of how hard the championship is and anybody can win that game, I'd probably actually tip Wednesday because they're on the with their point deduction kind of gone now. I'd actually tip Wednesday for probably maybe just edging it 1-0, although I could sit on the fence and maybe say I can see a 0-0 draw. But again, Norwich near the top, and like you said earlier, with those other sides as well, maybe forming that kind of promotion push, and maybe that shows how big the gap will be this season. But then Sheffield Wednesday near the bottom. Now they're not really near the bottom because of the point deduction, and they've managed to get into kind of the positive points. So I'm actually going to tip them probably. So Louis might be happy actually with me saying that. So I'll probably say a 1-0 win for Wednesday.
Yeah, I think I might join you on the 1-0 prediction. I think that Wednesday have been improving under Pulis. I think they were unfortunate against Reading to have a man sent off when they were winning the game. And they've been very difficult to beat since Pulis has come in. They've kept a couple of clean sheets, one against last weekend against Stoke. Obviously, only conceded one with 10 against Reading. So, yeah, I think they're going to become a team that's very traditional Tony Pulis and tough to beat. Good at the back, and yeah, I think that Norwich with their injuries might struggle in this one, especially after just losing the game. Often if you lose one at the top, you lose two, and then you have to bounce back from that. So yeah, I think I'm gonna join you with the 1-0 prediction to Wednesday, which yeah, Louis will be very pleased to hear. But with that, we are now out of time, Max. So if you just want to tell people where they can reach you.
Reach me on Twitter, Max D. Hayes. You can also obviously find my YouTube channel as well, but big thanks for having me on, and fingers crossed, chat soon as well, James, and fingers crossed for some exciting games this week as well.
Yeah, thanks for joining me. You can get the show at Championship Pod on Twitter. We also have a Premier League show at EPL Roundtable, so you can give both of those a look. But yeah, just thanks to Max again for joining us, and we hope you listen again next time.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
It's the question that's on everyone's mind. How do you live a good life? Is it about work, health, or relationships? What about happiness, meaning, and money? What really matters? And how can you dramatically improve all of these things? These are the questions we explore every week on the top-ranked podcast, Good Life Project, hosted by award-winning author and perpetual seeker Jonathan Fields, which also happens to be me. Every week, I sit down with world-renowned researchers, experts, and scions of art and industry on the Good Life Project podcast. This week, in fact, we're sharing a fantastic conversation with the author Elizabeth Gilbert about a single practice that changed her life. Listen to the Good Life Project podcast wherever you get your podcasts. Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.